Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Today's message is titled, The Power of the Tongue. Hear the scripture from James, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to this scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love. And show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. The power of such a small muscle, mobile muscular organ in the mouth that extends on back into the region of the upper throat, a muscle we stick out at people in dislike or an act of being totally silly. Can you recall raspberry sounds of silliness of an infant before words could ever be formed? The tongue is so amazing in structure of interlacing muscles, nerves, and blood vessels, keeping the organ healthy. The ability and wonder of its movement to facilitate eating and tasting and swallowing, breathing, and of course, the forming of sounds that are essential to speech. Speech. The wonder of words by the movement of a breath. Words of the world's languages formed and shaped by the movement of the muscle of the tongue along with the lips. A simply fantastic creation of the Lord. Creation of the Lord God to be used in praise and adoration of the living God, the living Lord God. Yet look at and listen to all the ways the world misuses this wonder created to praise the Lord. Or as James writes in James chapter 3, verse 6, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Search. Search through the historical archives and you'll find images of Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, and Tojo giving stirring speeches that literally set the world on fire. And through history, others have given stirring speeches to set to action, ennobled by the righteousness of the cause, such as General Dwight Eisenhower on the eve of D-Day, concluding with these words, "The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck. And let us beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking." These real images of history are so iconic that many a movie has a moment when the hero is headed into battle, stirs the men before the battle. William Wallace in Braveheart. Theoden, King of Rohan, before the battle in The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. Or remember the iconic opening of the movie Patton. That opening scene with the American flag there up on the stage and then stepping up. George C. Scott delivers those memorable words as Patton. Or, what would life be like without Shakespeare's soliloquies? While high school English would be a lot easier, but what would life be without Shakespeare's soliloquies, such as, "To be or not to be," or, "Oh Romeo, oh Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo?" The definition of soliloquy is the act of a character speaking their thoughts aloud. And there's where the tongue springs to life. The expressing of the thoughts that reside in the mind, in the heart, in the soul. The words that come out are now making known the hidden words of the soul for all the world to hear. 'Tis a dangerous thing to express the secret thoughts of the soul, for it reveals who you truly are. James chapter 3, starting at verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. The images that James uses to express the meaning he desires to communicate are quite easy to understand. Horses are big, strong, magnificent creatures. The rippling power of their muscles is tamed by the bit in the mouth, small, insignificant in size compared to the brawn of the beast. And yet a tiny tug on the bit turns the horse, bending its muscle power to your will. And a ship on the water, driven by the strong winds, is guided to the desired destination by a rudder, a very small rudder. Showing size is not what matters in comparison to the rest, rather what can be done. A small bit causes a horse to obey. A very small rudder directs the massive vessel safely to shore. And likewise, your tongue. The God-given tongue is powerful well beyond its size. Powerful to praise and uplift, or potent poison that brings down and destroys. As it is written in James chapter 3, verse 5, likewise the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And it is written in James chapter 3, verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Words spoken like toothpaste. Once it's squeezed out of the tube, you can't put it back. Words once spoken can't be unspoken. Like that email sent. You didn't want to send, you sent. It can't be unsent. Be careful. And choose wisely your words, or you may just put your foot in your mouth. Or be considered a smart aleck, or shown to be a buffoon. At times it is wise, as the idiom says, bite your tongue. As it's written in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. It is the Lord God, who has given us the ability to speak, the ability to express the thoughts of the mind and the desires of the heart and emotions residing in the soul. For we are not mind readers, though we can sometimes make good guesses as to what is going on inside of a person by their facial expressions or body posture and demeanor. Yet to truly know what is rattling around in a person, the individual must express in words spoken by the tongue. We must speak in words. Even sign language is speaking, outwardly expressing what is inside, communicating. Consider the Lord Jesus as He heals the blind, sick, and lame. Jesus speaking the words of healing, setting in motion the miraculous signs, as it's written in Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 25. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, He rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Remember Lazarus, as reported in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with the strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Jesus speaking aloud, "I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." So you would know his thoughts as he does his action of healing. He speaks them aloud. Turn to the Old Testament, to the power of the tongue, used to express the great things of the Lord. Goliath, the Philistine champion, day after day was mocking God. David heard the words and moved to action. Before Goliath, David declares, written in 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." The reading aloud of Scripture is found in Nehemiah. After the wall of Jerusalem was rebuilt, the people were gathered to hear the book of the law of Moses read aloud. Nehemiah chapter 8 tells about the high platform that was built for Ezra the scribe to stand on as he read aloud the book of the law, as the people listened attentively. The reading aloud of the scripture is also written about in 2 Kings chapter 23, when the book of the law was found. King Josiah called together the people of Judah and Jerusalem, from the least to the greatest, to hear him read from the book of the law of Moses, reading aloud to the people. The power of the word of the Lord, spoken aloud, brought revival to the land as the false idols were removed. You can read more about this in 2 Kings chapter 23. The tongue can speak good and can speak evil, as James writes in James chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth can come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. This is the pivotal verse, as James then adds the imagery to help understand. James chapter 3, starting at verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The words that flow off the tongue come down to this: praise our Lord and Father. The right use of the tongue. Praise the Lord and Father. The right use of the tongue. Recall a time when, as a child, you responded saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Or, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Perhaps an acquaintance, a friend, saying mean things to you, you said that. Thus you spoke the truth, though the words did hurt. Especially when a best friend spoke them, obliterating the friendship. Spoke them to hurt you, and they did hurt. Why do we speak? Why do we use the tongue, such the words of praise and words of cursing flow out of our mouths. Why? We are sinners. Yes, sinners. As the words flowing from our souls show, we are sinners. How could the people in Jerusalem with vehemence cry, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" Only a few days after shouting with great joy, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" The same spring cannot pull forth fresh and bitter. A fig tree cannot bear olives, nor a grapevine bear figs. Meaning the words that our tongues bring forth from the realm that resides inside us, with the tongue gives birth to words in the realms of the ears to hear. The words our tongues give birth to should be words of praise, words of goodness, words of righteousness. Matthew Henry's concise commentary: pious and edifying language is the genuine produce of a sanctified heart. And none who understand Christianity expect to hear curses, lies, boastings, and revilings from a true believer's mouth, any more they can look for the fruit of one tree from another. Then, depending on divine grace, let us take heed to bless and curse not, and let us aim to be consistent in our words and actions. Yes, we need to depend on divine grace these days. As the mantra these days is, say what you want to say, and do what you want to do, say anything, do anything, as cursing and foul language makes its way into more and more of people's ordinary daily vocabulary. Words that used to be washed out of one's mouth, did that happen to you as a child? Were these words washed out of your mouth with soap? The words that used to be washed out of one's mouth with soap have now become common parlance, making the challenge to speak well of others all the more daunting. Yet, that is the way previous generations were raised. If you can't speak well of another, don't say anything. You were raised that way, weren't you? If you can't speak well of another, don't say anything. That is part of what James is teaching here for all to learn. For the heart of the redeemed and born-again Christian ought to bring forth from the tongue words of love, hope, praise, encouragement. Words that reflect a love and worship of the living God. Words flowing from the heart redeemed by grace that speaks graciously of the saving work Christ has done in the soul. As Christ is able to say, "Father, forgive them." As the nails were driven to secure him to the cross, our redeemed hearts are able to speak at those difficult times the words of forgiveness, the words of compassion, the words of healing. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Christ was crucified, shedding his blood to redeem your soul. Shall we continue to walk and live in the gutter of foul and filthy language? No, not so with you. For Christ has redeemed you from that former way of life, and the beauty of grace has washed you clean with the blood of Christ. Let your life, let your thoughts, let your words reflect the beauty of the Lord. As the song we shall sing in a moment Lord, reign in me, second verse says. Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. A redeemed soul living that redeemed life, using the power of the tongue to express the beauty of the Lord. As James writes in chapter 3, verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. 'Tis true, we all stumble. Years ago, seems like another life, I was in college playing in a soccer match in the Columbus Men's Soccer League, a very highly competitive league with the Ohio State Columbus Club I was playing in, and I was on the receiving end of a hard tackle with the cleat cutting across my knee with a brutal whack. The pain seared excruciatingly, and I let an expletive fly. My teammates were in stunned silence as the word they heard was so out of character for me. I mean, I was in pain and the blood was starting to flow across my knee a little. I made no excuse and I apologized for letting the word fly. Yes, we all stumble. Yet that does not mean giving up on reaching the ideal of taming the tongue. God's grace is sufficient, enabling the bridling of the tongue. So the power of the tongue turns to praising, worship, and love of God. For the tongue was created and was formed to proclaim praise, as it is written in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. One of the best examples of living this out in life that I can point you to is in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas are unjustly imprisoned. They had every right to complain about being unjustly imprisoned. And at midnight, do you find them cursing their situation? Though they had every right to, were they cursing their situation at midnight? No. You find them praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Though they could have every right to complain and curse and all that in their situation, you don't find them doing that. Acts chapter 16. No, you find them praying and singing hymns to God. And did you notice? The prisoners were listening. Others were listening. That's the power of the tongue. Others were listening to hymns and praising when most people would be cursing. The power of the tongue, expressing praises to God, and others listening to your praises. Speaking of the beauty of the Lord. That's the real power of the tongue. Proclaiming praise and love of God. Others are listening, and you expressing praise and glory to God with your tongue. That is the power of the tongue. Amen and amen.